Is that the show? And I've been practicing that all day. And let me turn this around. Hello? Okay. Since everything I tend to say gets dissected and analyzed and inspected and published or posted, I need to sort of stay to a script I wrote. And if I sound like I'm talking with marbles in my mouth, it's because I got a cough and I got cough drops. So please excuse that. Anyways, we usually don't have such a large audience for our school board meeting, but we're all here today because we have to deal with a change. No one likes change, especially if it's not positive. Because our politicians seem to not value public education, we have to continually be making changes to adjust what they're doing to us. But I don't think closing a school needs to entail the changes we're going to have at this time. Our staff worked hard gathering facts on how our district will be impacted with an enrollment reduction, fund shifting, and fund cutting. The process was part of the district restructuring. Unfortunately, the focus of restructuring was diverted from restructuring our district to closing a school, and closing a school should not appear to be a restructuring goal, but a possible outcome of attaining a goal. And our goal has become muddled, and I could not support closing a school without a plan and a strategy. Even without closing a school, drastic changes will have to occur, though they are not all bad. Let's look at some of the things that happened the past few months as a learning experience as we go forward, because we're going to have to be dealing with a number of other changes, and we all have to weather the storm, and we're all in the same boat. So there are a couple of items I want to go over so we can better understand what's happened in the past so we can deal with the future better. Things getting me nervous. Okay. Before the March 10th meeting, how many people here for the March 10th meeting? Okay, before that meeting, I knew how I was going to vote, and I didn't change at all, because the restructuring had already gone amok. I was perplexed as to how so many people could be so angry and even asking for our resignations without one of them ever asking us how we were going to vote. No one's ever asked me how I was going to vote. I even dropped hints by saying that closing a school is against everything I believe, that my parents dedicated their lives to building communities around school, but yet everyone was convinced I was going to vote to close the school. No one was looking at the facts. The facts are that in 2012, when the override failed and it was rumored that Big Park was going to close, I led the override campaign with two Big Park parents, Nancy Zielinski and Liz Westervelt, and we spent the full year, 2013, working the override campaign to save Big Park. My kids, my daughter right here, their best friends are from Big Park. Jill, my wife, over there. And I socialize with Big Park parents more than any other group in town. Our family went on spring break to Mexico. There were four families, three were from Big Park. Our family, including my elderly mother, attended many Big Park spaghetti dinners and plays. And Mr. Gardner told my wife that I was the most supportive school board member for Big Park. So why did so many people believe that I wanted to close Big Park? Let me give you two ways information can be transmitted. The first, and this is just an example, but if Sally calls you and says, "Did you hear that Zach Richardson is down at the corner handing out $100 bills?" What is your response? I'm going to go down there and check that out, right? Or it could go like this. Sally calls, "Did you hear that Zach Richardson wants to close Big Park School?" You say, how terrible. I'm going to call Bob, Jane, Mary, Alice, and Kate and tell them. But no one checks the facts. Zach is guilty without the burden of proof. It is just the way people react when they get negative news and an emotional issue. They tend to not investigate the facts. Change is usually considered negative, so people generally take the low road when they hear it. One of the changes our districts will need to make is 7th and 8th grade going to the high school. And there are two ways this information can be transmitted. First, we'll go back to Sally again. Where is Sally? Oh. Sally calls you and says, did you hear the great news? 7th and 8th graders are moving to the high school, and our kids will have so many more options, full-time art with an amazing teacher, music with renowned Courtney Yates, PE in a real gym, better sports programs, Spanish, the use of the Performing Arts Center, and more. You say, that sounds great. I'm going to go check it out. On the other hand, Sally calls you and says, did you hear the terrible news? 7th and 8th graders are being bused all the way to the high school. There's so much trouble there. Drugs, sex, bullying, alcohol, fights. It's a nightmare. And what is your response? I'm going to call Bob, Jane, Mary, Alice, and Kate and tell them the terrible news. You're doing your children a disservice if you don't investigate the facts. Emotions are very powerful and easily influenced. We need to temper our emotions and make decisions factually. We always tell our kids, don't let emotions get the best of you. Then there's the Willie Stark syndrome. Realizing that power of emotion, some people use it to manipulate others for their own personal agenda, which are usually not in the best interest of everyone else. In the book, All the King's Men, which is something I read when I was in high school, the main character is a sneaky politician named Willie Stark, who manipulates people for their own personal gain, and his tactics are appealing to the basic instincts of people by unleashing their emotions, providing false and distorted information to further fuel emotions, telling people what they want to hear and not the truth, focusing on distractions away from the main issue. My favorite quote from that book is, the truth is a terrible thing. When people are nervous and scared, they look to someone in a perceived position of authority and hope that their personal tensions will be eased. Unfortunately, if that person is a Willie Stark figure and not a problem solver, that person gains power by making the situation look worse than it is and to gain further control over power. We have seen many such examples of the Willie Stark tactics in the past year, where people sought power through emotional manipulation and false information. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. The difference between supporting two K-6 schools and one K-6 school is just $30,000. That's not true. Zach Richardson wanted to close Big Park School in 2014. That's not true. The most disturbing one, and I'm going to go into a little detail on this one, and it was a Willie Stark ploy to basically destroy our district by eliminating the most critical person we have. And who is that person? It's not Mr. Likens. It's not Darren Carusis. And I know it's hard to believe. It's not even me. That person is Colleen Toscano. Some people tried to ruin her reputation with lies and half-truths. If she left our district, we would be in big trouble. She has a 4-year degree from Prescott College in public school management. She has 9 years of knowledge and working experience in our district that would be extremely difficult to replace. She has continually won awards from outside audit agencies for her work. She works in a district office that used to have 15 employees, and now it has 5, and she's basically made up the difference between 15 and 5. She is so critical and dedicated to our district that she had a baby on Friday and came to work on Monday, and she worked throughout her maternity leave. If anyone is going to find money to keep our district intact and Big Park open, it is Colleen. Willie Starks, who want to save Big Park, also want to seem to destroy their only savior. Sounds like something from the Bible. People took some misinformation about the PR firm bidding process and twisted it so much that it made me dizzy. No one bothered to get the accurate explanation as to what occurred because the truth did not support their agenda. And the Willie Stark played the emotions and not the facts. There are two reasons why Colleen is so critical to this district. First, she is excellent at her job. And second, we've basically eliminated the whole finance department and it is just her. We owe Colleen a public apology and pray she doesn't leave. And then we have Willie Stark distractions that are taking people's focus off the main issues onto something that's irrelevant. For example, the superintendent's salary, a subject I would gladly discuss with any group in a different setting. It is what it is, so we now need to focus on getting our teachers' salaries to an appropriate level. The PR firm hired by the district, something I was against at the time, but looking back at what's transpired over the past several months, it was probably an excellent decision, and we probably would not be in the position we are today. And then the distraction of the two principals at West Sedona. Again, a concept that had merit and I supported. The implementation was a disaster and I opposed it. But it is done and we need to move forward. People who attempt to sabotage our mission with distractions need to be asked to step aside as we move past them. Willie Stark spin information to exaggerate problems to oppose to creating plans to solve. So what we need is we need problem solvers and not spinners. So be on the lookout for Willie Starks. I want to talk about how board members should behave. In the mid-1980s, I had a client named Ed Gurney. He was a former U.S. senator from Florida and the smartest politician I ever met. During the Nixon-Watergate years, Ed Gurney was on the Watergate Committee. I don't know how many people are old enough to remember that. Okay. Yeah. And I was a crazy Democrat college student, and during the 70s, I despised Ed Gurney. In the 1980s, we became very good friends. So I asked the question, why? Why did you defend Richard Nixon during the Watergate days? He said that as a politician, you need to show unity so the public can build confidence in the process. He said that behind closed doors, he was a very different person and instrumental in getting him to resign. In keeping that thought, I've been accused of smoking cigars in the back room with Mr. Likens as we plot against the district. Not true, another distraction. First of all, I do not smoke cigars and I've never smoked a cigar. And second, I disagree with Mr. Likens on many issues in private. I've actually been angrier at Mr. Likens than Russ Snyder expressed at the last meeting twice. As a result, I didn't speak to him for weeks because I was afraid I would do something unprofessional or stupid, and I needed to set an example for my kids on how to deal with frustration. As a board, we need to support our administrators and each other. We can disagree in public, have open discussions on issues, but once we decide something as a board, we all need to support the majority decision and move on. There's even a policy that states that. As board members, we have a responsibility to the public, which includes being respectful and supportive of each other. Now, to find a solution, we need to look outside the box. To keep Big Park open and provide specials required for West Sedona, we need to think outside the box. The district holds reserve funds for catastrophic events, and I would say this might be a catastrophe. At last year's April 6th board meeting, I suggested we apply some of the reserves to teacher salaries to get our district back on track. At the time, we had one of our outstanding teachers at the high school living in someone's garage. That's totally unacceptable for Sedona. Unfortunately, I was ridiculed with my idea in the paper. We now are at the point where this idea needs to be seriously reconsidered without ridicule. Who do you think can figure that out? Colleen. We also need to look to our community for financial support. Is Katie here? Okay, Katie, how about Liz Westervelt? Did she show up? And Shannon Jennings is here. They all agreed to work together to get community financial support for our district. And do you have clipboards? Okay, they want to pass around clipboards to get everybody's name and phone number because everybody here is an interested party to help us financially support our district. We've rallied the community together before with the override, and we can do it again to save our schools. So moving forward, I've got a couple of things I want to discuss so everyone understands the predicament we're in. We need to put in perspective what is going on with our funding. When the override failed in 2012, we were going to lose $1 million in funding and thought Big Park was going to close. Between when the override passed in 2013 and next year, we will probably have lost more than that $1 million. To keep things running, people need to understand it will not be like it has been. Russ Snyder and Steve Gardner created a great thing in Big Park that the state legislature has decided we can no longer fund. Things will need to be different. And another sad part is we're probably going to lose some good teachers. Since the state now funds less per student, we need more students per class to pay for their teacher's salary and the school overhead. That is a simple math problem with a moving target. Now, there are synergies in numbers, and I want to use a simple example so hopefully everybody can understand where we need to go. Now, you need to be clear, these are arbitrary numbers. You can't hold me to the numbers. They're just for my example. So let's say the arbitrary number is 30 students per teacher. Therefore, if we have 90 students, how many teachers can we have? Three, right? If we have 180 students, how many teachers can we have? No, the answer is seven. The reason it's seven is because the first 90 students pays for the teacher's salary and the overhead for the school. The second 90 pay for the teacher's salary, but there's additional money because the overhead's already paid for, so we can afford another teacher. And that is the synergy in enrollment. So the more students we have, the more we can do. And that was part of the concept of consolidating the schools. If we can consolidate the schools and get a large number of students, we have much more flexibility. Okay. Now, the kicker in all this is changing from prior year funding to current year funding. It's a hard concept to understand, and it's a sneaky move the state has pulled. Again, just arbitrary numbers. I want to try to use an example again. With prior year funding, which is what we've been using, if we had 300 students with funding of $4,000 per student, we would have $1.2 million for the next school year, and we could hire 10 teachers. If next year only 200 students enrolled, we still have $1.2 million, and we don't have to make any changes until the following year. That's the way it is now. The way it's probably going to be next year is current year funding, and it works like this. With the same scenario, if only 200 students enroll, we will immediately have a budget cut, which means those 10 teachers that we thought we were going to have, we're going to have to make the cut right away. So It's very tough to hire teachers in such a scenario, because if you were a teacher and you're going to work in a school and you could lose your job the first day or the first couple of months, it's a little difficult. And the smaller the school, the higher the risk. Again, that was part of the concept of consolidating the schools, is because if we had a larger student body and we wound up with a cut, we probably could still save the teachers. Okay, we need to keep all of the students in our district in our schools, and that's very important. There are a number of parents and even teachers who have pulled their children from our district and sent them to other districts or are homeschooling. And even if you have a child at the high school and you pull them out and send them to a different district, that also impacts Big Park, because we need all the students that are in the district in all the schools. And the best marketing tool we have is all of you people out there is to try to get all of our students that are in our district in our schools. It's very important. We need to be positive. How many students do you think we lost with all the negative publicity in the newspaper? It is one thing to campaign for a school board claiming you can do better. It is destructive to us all if anyone tries to undermine our district. If you're upset or do not agree with the school policies or actions, notifying the community does not resolve the problem. We need to put on our smiling face for the community. And if you have issues, you should follow the proper channels to resolve the issue. If the issue has not been resolved, you can send an email to the school board. I've responded to every single email that I've received, and I've followed up. And if you don't get a resolution from the school board, then you should run for school board. But don't attack the district. Don't attack the school board. You can say how great you are or attack individuals. But we always need to put a smile on our face to the community. Otherwise, we're going to lose all our support. I didn't smile. Okay, site councils. Every school has a site council, and they're very important. In order to move forward, we don't have to create a whole lot of committees and invention. We can do everything we need to do through the school site councils. The site councils are designed to have students, faculty, and community members to help guide the principals of where the schools want to go. And now that we're going through these tremendous changes, it's very important to get involved in our site councils. And if you want to get involved, you can see the president of the site councils or the principal of the schools. I said, owner Red Rock News, we need to get them on board. Is Michael Rinker here? Yes? Okay. Oh, okay, good. He's been great. He's a great reporter. And he's been giving us a very objective and accurate coverage. And Tommy Acosta, is that you back there? He's with Sedona Biz, and he's been very supportive also. It's very important that we have great coverage and accurate coverage of what we do. We do a lot of great things in our district, but they seem to be overshadowed by all the negativism. Okay, my final statement. You're supposed to applause, right? Is that we need to support Mr. Likens and his staff. It's obvious there's dissatisfaction with the way things have been going, but we need to understand that his team has been wrestling with problems that educators have never faced before. It's easy to criticize and reminisce of the good old days, but this team has to deal with reality. We need to provide them with our support, but at the same time, politely let them know what we expect so they can address our expectations. And we need to ask the question why. If there's something that's going on that you don't understand, ask the question why and don't call all your friends to let them know. Our anger needs to be focused on politicians in Phoenix and Washington. Well, everybody wake back there? Okay, the next item is going to be a call to the public, and Karen's going to handle that because I didn't do very well keeping everybody to their 3 minutes last time. And we're only going to leave an hour for call to the public. So if you want to say something really nice, we encourage you to come on up. Thank you.
Is this on? I want to start off. My name's Richard Thomas. I'm a retired executive.
Everybody, there is a 3 minute time limit. We didn't follow that too well. Follow that too well last time. Just one comment. If this is just specifically on the school closing issues. This is not a regular board meeting. If you've got something that does not affect directly closing a school, opening a school, moving the junior high students, please come back in April and bring those comments up then, because that's a regular board meeting. This is a special meeting just on this one issue. So essentially the comments relate to the agenda items you've seen. Particularly if there's anybody in line who hasn't spoken before, we want to be sure we hear from anybody who didn't speak at the last meeting who's here today specifically, and so we don't have time for everyone because we will have just a one-hour time limit altogether on things, which is going to be about 15 to 20 people altogether. So if you know somebody is in line that hasn't spoken, please let them move up to the front. And go ahead. Thanks. Sorry.
Thank you very much. My name is Richard Thomas. I'm a retired executive of a major company. I live in the village of Oak Creek. This major company I work for had very similar problems which you've had, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of adjustments. And I honestly think a school board is probably one of the toughest jobs there is because you have a lot of customers and a lot of constituents. That I was shocked at the closing, and I can understand the numbers because you're dealing with a lot of variables on the funding and you got the ups and downs on the student population. I wanted to assure you that this problem, we get it, we understand, the community will help you with the problem. Now, there's a lot of talent out there, and I'd like to focus on what can we do to move it towards a excellence type of program. And during those years, I'd learned a long time ago, when you're with a big company that's faced with a lot of competition, you guard your gains. There are certain things you do, you don't want to backslide. The other thing is you always have to build a team, you have to build a plan, you have to build unity. But overwrapping all of that was can-do, and I've noticed that there's a lot of attitude on the can-do in the community as well as with you folks. The idea that you're losing students, that's tough. Where are they going? Why? Can you plug that hole? And I, looking at your numbers, you had a pipeline that you had an input-output issue that the students were declining. Now it looks like they're starting to come back. So you have to address variables, and that's your capacity. Factories, businesses do that all the time. They move resources around to adjust to variables. Beans, we're going to hold it very strictly to the 3 minute. I want to make sure that we want to help you with the shortage of funds, want to find additional students to fill the shortage gap. And I've read the thing, you don't poach from the other districts, but your attrition going to charters and maybe the grade scare, that kind of thing, we need to do the best we can. The coaching and mentoring of students to improve their scores, I think that would help an awful lot because I think a lot of parents are distressed. But again, I want to say the community is mobilized. We're here to help. I want to make sure that the district and the community has a focus of a strong vision for future excellence. I come from an area where we had a lot of school board problems, and we kept pushing it, and we wound up being so darn good that they started taking funding away from us to give it to the underperforming ones, but it was a great problem to have. the school district also needs to have a strong and specific strategic plan. And I don't mean, you know, just for the next funding period. I've seen you have attempted looking out 3 years, 4 years, that kind of thing. But the idea that let's go out, let's take the 5 year, the 10 year, that kind of thing. And that I found that goal setting is always easy when you reach out where you want to be and you can get to that. And the last thing on that is we want a strong business plan, because you got to have the funds to pay for the right teachers. You got to take care of an awful lot of curves that the state and the feds are throwing at you. So I'm urging you not to close Big Park and take the next few months to include the community in understanding the elements. You have awakened us to the problems. We are mobilized to help.
Mr. Thomas, that is 3 minutes.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm on overtime. I'm a politician. I'll leave. Thanks, Karen. But the idea that when you're closing down a school and reducing your capacity for future growth does not bode well for leaving a very positive legacy. And I think some of you are from famous generations. A lot of gains have been achieved. Let's guard those gains, and let's put a decent legacy for the next generation. Thank you.
Randy Hawley, I live in the village. Listening carefully to what Zach had to say, and Zach and I have talked on numerous occasions, I must say that I agree with many of the goals that he has for the district. I've read what he has written, and we agree on a lot of things, and perhaps then we both ought to reassess where we stand, Zach. but given that, what I hear you say is you don't want to close the school, but you want to send the 7th and 8th graders to the high school and keep the 2K6 buildings open. That would be a huge mistake. As I said before, in other meetings, I was an associate superintendent of schools in a district that had 7th and 8th graders at the high school, and it was a dismal, total failure. Middle school kids have different social and emotional needs. They have different learning styles, and they have different needs, far different than the high school. And if you better be a trained middle school and elementary teacher to be able to deal with those needs. You can't send kids to high school, give them high school teachers, and expect those high school teachers to understand the needs of middle school kids. And you can't; they will not interact with high school. So, one other thing that I disagree with you, Zach, and you said that this district is facing issues that no one's ever faced before. Not true. Districts all over the country have faced similar issues. I've worked in districts that have faced similar issues. Has anybody done any research to find out how they resolve the problem? Why does this board hang on to those two flawed plans? Why don't you, and here's my recommendation. And by the way, those plans are flawed because I don't know who designed them, but it didn't involve the teachers. It didn't involve the other stakeholders, the community, the parents, the students, and the teachers. And how much time do I have? Okay. And organizational change 101 says simply, if you don't involve the stakeholders in making the plan, it doesn't matter how good the plan is. It will fail because it's the stakeholders that have to implement it. So you better involve.
Excuse me, everyone. I've got a hearing disability that enables me or disables me to hear him and you both. So if you would prefer to hear clapping, okay. I can hear clapping. Okay. And that's fine with me. If you would prefer me to hear him, then if you could keep your noise to a minimum, I'll be able to hear him.
So
thank you.
Like all men, you can't do two things at once, right? So. I've been in districts where we've had similar issues. We've threatened to eliminate PE and art and music. And I'll tell you what happens is the good people in the community rise up and take the schools back. And that's what's happening here, and that's a good thing. We have more talent and more expertise in this community, and it was so heartening at last week's meeting to see all the people show up and speak in favor of keeping Big Park open. So here's my suggestion, okay? Both of those plans are bad plans. And what you've done, as Willie has said, well, if you don't choose closing a school, you can't have art, music, and PE. Well, I have to tell you, there are plans out there where you can keep both schools open and keep art, music, and PE and other things. I suggested one at the last meeting, and there are others. But here's what you need to do. You need to take those two plans and set them aside. Then you need to instruct the superintendent to go back to the table and develop a process that will include all stakeholders in the decision-making and come up with additional plans that will provide the kids with the things that the parents have indicated they need and still meet the financial standards. Change isn't necessarily bad, and where we are today doesn't mean we can't make things better. It can happen, but you have to have a vision for what you want the district to be like 3 and 4 years. I'm tired of hearing about the current reality. I want to hear about what the vision is for this district 3 and 4 years from now. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Shannon Jennings, and I am a West Sedona parent. And I just wanted to share really quick that, you know, we have talked our last meeting, it was over and over and over, we want to help our schools. We want to help our schools. We will stand by and help our schools. So I wanted to give the audience an opportunity to help our schools today or Friday. On Friday night, there's a McTeacher night where our West Sedona teachers are going to be serving at McDonald's. And a percentage of every single sale, they have salads if you don't like burgers and fries and all that, but a percentage of every single sales is going to go directly to West Sedona School. I urge you to please come there. We'll have donation boxes where you can put your extra pennies and your dollars, maybe $100, or and your Benjamins or whatever. But you can do all of that, and you can help support the school in a tangible way. And when Big Park has a fundraiser like that, let West Sedona know about it so we can be a part of it, and we can work together as a community to be a part of it and to be the solution and not the division between our community. We want to do that with you guys, and we hope that you guys will help that with us as well. Thank you.
My name is Matthew Osquist. I have a son and a daughter, both in the Sedona School District. This all stems from a problem that you, the governing board, should have been fully aware of, a blip in the class size that was bubbling up through the classes in the district. This information wasn't new. Your superintendent has stated that he was aware of this issue nearly 6 years ago, prior to him even starting his current role as superintendent, which leads me to the understanding that this was common knowledge among the administration. The blip of a smaller than usual class size of students, or cohorts as it was commonly referred to at governing board meetings repeatedly over the course of the last year, hasn't changed. And to draw a correlation to the captain of the Titanic, the governing board has steamed full ahead without any concern. Instead, dealing with alleged distractive issues such as poor performance at West Sedona School and the need for two principals, that is yet to be justified. More like, let's just sweep that one under the rug. But now the iceberg of this smaller than usual class size of students now appears as clear and present danger against the viability of the district. Nobody seems to ask the questions that begs to be asked. Why were you not looking at this sooner? Why did you not wait until you had so little time that you believe that you can research, formulate, and decide on a plan in as little as 16 weeks, with very little information required to actually make an informed decision? For some reason, this governing board believes that it has the ability to achieve what the other more experienced and better staffed school districts took 18 months to do. Or, to put it another way, you believe that you can achieve in only 20% of the time it took other school districts across the country and with a fraction of the necessary information. So here we are today with two choices, each poorly formulated and planned, each produced with so little information other than moving students and staff as if they were simple chess pieces on a board, and that by moving them from one location to another would solve the problem. Our children are not pawns for you to do with at your leisure. The movement of entire classes of students to different facilities has as much complexity as that of closing a facility. The decision to move the 7th and 8th graders to a high school was made with so little information and has been basically assumed as necessary within a shorter time frame than the closing of Big Park Community. Both are Band-Aid solutions that can't even start to cover the actual problem facing the district. The general lack of experience and knowledge that the administration has to properly understand the problem, no less solve it. Only through the creation of a district advisory committee, independent of both the governing board and the administration, that involves all the stakeholders, teachers, community members, business leaders, past and present, parents, and most importantly, the student themselves, can we possibly come to a viable solution? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Susan McGuire, and I'm a teacher at West Sedona School and a member of the Big Park community. I'd like to remind our board members of the charge that they accepted when they chose to become a valued partner to the education of Sedona students. Your main function is to ensure the high-quality education of all students in Sedona. I recently sent an email to all board members so you all know exactly what my position is. I'm calling on you tonight to do the right thing for every student in Sedona. Ensure a quality education and services to all students. I want to make sure that you understand that the parents of West Sedona have spoken and that they value the special classes and that they would be very hard-pressed to support the district if those courses are taken away. I realize that there is not a way to make everyone happy, so we need to do the very best we can for all of our students. Please try to include the needs of parents and staff at West Sedona as you are making your decisions for the future of all students. Thank you.
Hi, Board. I had some prepared remarks, but after listening to Zach, I decided I needed to just write down a few notes and talk through those. I actually did send all of you an email detailing. Oh, I'm sorry, Hillary Hershey, and I live in the Village. I'm a business owner. I'm also a grandmother who has two kids in Big Park and will shortly, in a few years, have another one. I sent all of you an email on Saturday afternoon. I recognize that Urban needs days off, so I didn't expect an immediate response. I did get one from Karen, which I think was one she kind of sent to a lot of people. And I got one from Bobby that was a little more detailed. I didn't hear from any of the gentlemen. Zach, I had to write down some notes, and I apologize. If it's okay if I call you Zach? Good. Well, see, it doesn't depend on what I was going to say. That's kind of the point. You know, change is messy. It's ugly. It's not a lot of fun for anybody, and we can't all go around smiling. That's not what we are here to do. We're here to make a change in how this district is run. You know, I understand that you want to support your superintendent, and I get that, but the email that I sent to you guys was very clear. I laid out a plan. The plan was that you need to immediately, as a show of good faith to this community, rescind the ridiculous raise that you gave him. It doesn't even make any sense for someone who's doing a failing job. And I apologize for that, sir. You weren't prepared, and it's not your fault. The other thing I said was there are three things that we could do immediately. Well, you have this community here. You form three committees. Committee A is the financial committee, which gets 100% access to all of the district records. There's no reason why we can't do that. We can have them in the district office if there's privacy concerns or other kinds of issues. The second thing I said is that we form an educational committee. The educational committee is of all of these folks out here with this incredible knowledge, former superintendents and educators at all levels, to come up with a plan, whether it's putting STEMs finally in Big Park or other plans for West Sedona, the high school, other kinds of ways in which we can not just Band-Aid this, but actually become the excelling school district we're supposed to be. This is Sedona, one of the most gorgeous places on the earth. Who does not want to come to school here? Well, if you just build big buildings, people aren't going to come. But they're going to send their kids if we can find a way to create the right environment for them. And the last committee is maybe the most important, and that's all of the stakeholders that are around here. That includes the Sedona Film Festival, the Chamber of Commerce, all the other people who don't want to see Sedona have a black eye. So all of those people, I mean, we treat our pets really well around here. I think we can treat our kids at least as well as that. So, you know, the reality is every one of the people that came to this meeting today there's a certain percentage of them, maybe it's 5%, 10%, or 2%, that have real expertise. Listen, I know what I do well, and I know what I don't do well. And what I don't do well, I give to people who are experts at it. You guys are trying to do this all yourselves, and I don't get it. There's a whole community of people out here who are willing to help you. Tonight is the night. All you have to do is, I understand folks are passing out a petition, or not a petition, a list for people to sign up, and that's great. But don't let people leave tonight. Don't let them leave without gathering in that group, Committee A, Committee B, Committee C. 10 people per committee, the most qualified to handle each of those issues, and you'll be able to resolve this problem faster than you think. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Amadeus LaRue, and I'm president of Big Park Regional Coordinating Council. I'd like to thank Sedona Oak Creek Unified School District for hosting this event. And more than that, the people that have turned out. This is a wonderful thing. I would like to take you to task on one issue, and that is your implied social contract. Everything I've been hearing this evening is about checkbooks, balance sheets, numbers here, numbers there. Your implied social contract deals with the hearts and minds of a community and the students within. I'm asking you to set aside your checkbook tonight, look within to find that faith and hope and abilities that each one of you have and everyone in this community has to move this forward. Concentrating on numbers isn't human. Otherwise, we could replace everybody with IBM machines. Let's find a way to touch each other at the heart level, make this work, because we do have the skills and abilities to do that. Thank you.
My name is Karen Kincaid, and I've been a teacher in this district for 12 years, and I also have three kids at Big Park, and I live in the village. And I'm not a good speaker, so bear with me. I think a lot's been said already, and I just don't want to keep repeating myself. But this is going to go towards Mr. Richardson's speech earlier. I don't want to put Colleen down for the baby coming back early. I actually applaud her for that, and it's good that the district was willing to work with her and her schedule. A lot of us do the same thing for our students, and I've been one of them. In fact, my second child, I only took 10 days off because I tried to come back and work and save one of my classes from students who were trying to leave, and the district was not willing to work with me, so I had to come back after 10 days full-time, and so basically putting my students first over my own family. And there's a lot of us out there that care this much for the school district, and I feel that if Colleen's such an asset, as you say, then why hasn't she found that $1,500 for each student that the other schools have found? Why are we only getting $500? Simple math there. If we've got 1,000 students, 1,000 for that, that's $1 million for a year, isn't it? And if it's not her, then it must be Mr. Likens. And I guess that piggybacks on his raise for not doing his job. You also talked about gathering the facts first, but that goes for you too. One of the things you did say was talking about closing Big Park back in October, I believe is when we had that meeting here. And I think it was Mr. Jackson who specifically asked Dave Likens about closing Big Park. And his comment was, I've never heard of that. And you just stated that that was a scare tactic to get us to pass the override, which was what one of the parents did tell me who was in charge of it, said that the district told her to use that as a scare tactic. So guess what? We passed it, and here we are. So it's hard to trust you guys when you say one thing and you're doing something else. Also, it is hard to gather some facts from you guys if your stories are never consistent. And when you guys don't come together as a board, it's really hard for us to trust you guys in that sense as well. And the last thing I'd like to say is when I did come to you guys in 2012 when I denied my teaching contract for reasons that only Darren and Dave know the truth of, they told me, actually Dave helped me write a reason for why I wanted a sabbatical, just a year off, and I sat in front of you guys, and they said that they would fight for me, and they didn't, so I don't trust them. And your comment to me, Mr. Richardson, was, oh, so a sabbatical helps you, not us. Okay, I'm ready to vote. No. And you looked me in the face after I tutored your son, went to your house, which you didn't pay me the last two sessions for. And you looked me in the face and said, you're one of the best math teachers. I hope you come back next year. And I said, as I was crying out the door, I said, well, then you should have voted for the sabbatical. And Mr. Miller chased me in the parking lot. I'll never forget this. He looked me in the eye and said to me, I am so sorry we denied your sabbatical, but none of us on the board have an education degree. We have to do what Darren and Dave tell us. And I said, aren't you guys in charge of them?
Hi, my name's Malia Kincaid, and I'm 10 years old. And just today, I made a paper, and I got a lot of people to sign it. And we really want to keep Big Park open, and we hope that you make the right decision. And please keep Big Park open, because we all love Big Park, and I hope you can keep Big Park open.
Mark and Kate, I've spoken before. You all know who I am. Mr. Richardson, I appreciate your comments from earlier to start this meeting this evening. I ask you to support and agree with some of what you're saying, but not everything, unfortunately. I urge you not to close Big Park. I worry of the consequence of this action. I agree that we face many challenges, and I agree that these changes will have to happen. And I agree that we need to create a school district that is a community between all three schools, not one school against the other schools, one school against other schools at this point in time. I applaud you reaching out to the public for your request for help, which is a good thing. It's the first step in the right direction. I question, though, the request of a detailed plan in 3 or 4 days when you guys have had 8 months to try and figure it out. The real problems that need to be addressed, finding out why kids have left the district and what we can do to lure them back. That's the real problem right there. The second problem is having a complete understanding of why teachers have left the district. Myself, my wife, have never been contacted about why we left the district. Not once. So it questions me as to whether other teachers or kids have actually been contacted why they left the district. That needs to be addressed so that we can fix those problems right there. We need to find supplemental funding, which I know is out there. Other districts have it. I've contacted other districts. They're getting grants to supplement the funding they get from the state. Why are we not doing the same? Okay. This is not a. The facts are that, yes, Arizona is the lowest in the nation for per pupil funding. Say that 10 times fast. Though there is a bill that increases this funding. Right? You have mentioned tonight about the special fund for catastrophes. Why was this plan not mentioned before back in the fall when we're approaching these subjects? This is not a critique of West Sedona or Big Park or the high school. My kids have gone there. I've taught at the high school. This is a critique of the process and the decision and the fact that it has not been fully thought out. It takes other districts years that are faced with the same problems to come to a conclusion, and we're trying to do it in months. I call for the board members that are stepping down to make a choice tonight that your successors do not have to then suffer the consequences. Delay this restructure. Figure out a way to delay it a year so we can create a district, a perfect structure instead of something that's rushed, so it provides a highly successful school system that provides an excellent education for all students at all schools. There have been so many different plans out there. If we just took the time to actually research them, get them implemented, we could have an excellent school district, and all three schools would be succeeding and excelling.
Bobby Serber, I'm speaking for myself, and I did not plan to speak tonight, but after the comments by our board president, I felt I needed to. And I want to remind people that I have served with every single superintendent in this district and multiple board members. I've never, prior to last year, spoke out outside of a board meeting. I never felt I needed to, not once. It started last year when our board and administration started stating that West Sedona was a failing school. We said it over and over and over again. I disagreed. We never proved any of it. And worse yet, we never followed up this year with how it was improving, what plan we had for improvement. I lost faith. This year, we had an opportunity, and I brought it up from the first meeting. Let's appoint a committee to the board. We've always done that in our district. We decided not to. People turned out. Many, many of these people were here for every single meeting. They believed tonight we were going to vote to close Big Park School. Why? Because of our presentations, because of our board comments. We have failed to reach out to all of our staff, our community, our parents, and involve them. And they showed up in record numbers to set us straight. I disagree. They don't have to say kind and nice things about us. Every single one of them, every one of you, have a responsibility to hold us accountable, to not agree with us, to challenge our decisions, to challenge our actions. So I want to thank you. I want to thank our community, because I believe tonight we will backpedal, and I believe we will keep Big Park School open. And as many of the teachers know, it won't be my first time standing in front of you saying, I should have listened harder, I should have listened sooner. I'm listening, and I want your feedback, and I believe there are other board members that want the same thing. Thank you.
Nancy Zielinski, the Village of Oak Creek. Every year we ask the public for tax credit money for our schools. We ask the public to vote on an override, once failed, then passed. We ask the public for donations of time and donations of money. We ask the public to vote for our board members. And now the majority of some of that same public is asking to keep Big Park School open. A shadow has been cast over Big Park Community School for the past 4 or 5 months. Keep it open, close it, reduce it. It is a very difficult position for everybody. We all should be proud of our community as it has rallied around the school, and the voices are very clear. There's also another group, a group of people who go to work every day and do their job well, to the best of their ability, despite wondering if they should be doing their planner or resume, sell their homes or stick it out, worry about their own families and their classroom families. Under this shadow, they have shown strength in their commitment to the district, to their school, their jobs, their parents, and most importantly, their students. And they should be recognized. They are Gottschalk, Schmetteg, Jackson, Ramirez, Walter, Johnson, Romero, Alanya, Lynch, Walter, Galley, Thorne, Schumacher, Kirkham, Holland, Litwicky, Jones, Dunsinger, Bruce, Coughlin, Morrison, Feldkeller, Osla, Fox, Fagan, Loss, Fox, Liley, Whitener, Estrella, and Mr. Richard. Tonight we ask that you find a way to keep Big Park Community School open. Let's listen to the public majority and keep the word unified in the district. Thank you.
I'm Laurel Rahm. Many of you know me. I've been teaching here chemistry and physics for 22 years. High school. These remarks may be a little scattered, but oh well. I've been reluctant to speak freely on this issue because I work under you. My job is in your hands. But I finally decided I have to stand up and speak for what I believe in. As people, as individuals, I believe you're good people. I don't believe you're out deliberately to do damage. You're nice people. My problems are with your professional actions. You are not rubber stampers. You were elected by the public to use your intelligence and your life experience to look critically and think critically about the material presented to you. If your duty is to support what the superintendent recommends, as Zach, you said in a board meeting a few months ago, because he is the expert, then you guys might as well just quit and go home and use your time more effectively elsewhere. Now, this decision in particular, as a scientist and an engineer, 12 years an aerospace engineer, I have some concerns with the way this process has taken place. When we designed a satellite or a rocket, an inanimate object, not an object that had immediate impacts on a lot of people, it took between 18 months to 3 years. All the numbers, not just summary presentations, but all the numbers were available to anyone who needed to look at them. Everyone's expertise was fully utilized, not just a few, quote, experts in the field. We did not have an unlimited budget, much as people like to think we did, because we had to compete with other companies to sell our satellites. We had periodic design reviews where rather than the upper management presenting to everybody else, this is what will be done, the expert groups within the company, and by experts, I'm not so much talking about the process, but people who were designing navigation programs, people like me who were designing temperature control programs, things like that, presented the information to each other, to the group at large, and people could ask questions and ask for evidence of any of the stuff we put up. And the rationales for our decisions were backed up by hard data. I haven't seen any of this here. How long does that give me? Pardon? Principal a few years ago, she'd come into a staff meeting and announced, this issue has just arisen and I must take action by Friday, so here's my decision. First time I thought, okay, I can see that happening. Second time I began to wonder. As the saying goes, the third time is conspiracy. By the fifth time, I realized she was giving lip service to involving all stakeholders. By hurrying decisions through, she retained all her control. She finally went too far, and everybody got up in arms, parents, students, staff. Parents came to the board meeting in July and said if she was still principal in August, their kids would be here first day, enrolled in school, and day two, they would be out in front of the high school picketing with Phoenix TV cameras in front of them. 3 days later, Russ Snyder was the principal of the high school. And about 3 weeks after that, I mentioned to him that, you know, Russ, I see something very interesting. It's very subtle, but very telling. Teachers are propping their doors open again. It took that change for that attitude of trust to come back. Last thing, kids find it mind-boggling that if I were still in engineering, just at where I left engineering, 12 years of experience, 2 master's degrees, I would at that time have been making about $120,000 to $150,000 a year. And yet I took a 75% pay cut to come here and, in their words, be tortured by teenagers. And I said, yes. And I love every minute of it.
Laurel, let's...
Okay, lessons. Yeah. I don't see where what I do is only worth one-third of what Dave does in terms of value to the school district, but that's about what I make as compared to what he makes. There's something wrong with this picture, guys.
my name is Hannah Simpson, and it's really scary getting up here, and almost every person who's gotten up can probably agree with that. But the reason we do it is because we really care on what's happening, and we want to voice our opinions because they matter. A couple of weeks ago, my teacher, Mr. Galley, taught us about how there are a lot of numbers in history books, and usually they're described on the amount of people there are. And he taught us to realize that those numbers, they aren't just numbers. They're people with feelings and opinions and whatever you have. And so when you look at the numbers on Big Park and how many students there are or how many teachers there are, realize that the choice you make with those numbers, they affect every single one of those numbers because they have a life just like you do. And a lot of those numbers in Big Park School are my friends, and they care about what happens to them, and I care about what happens to them. So if next year we go to the high school or wherever we go, because at this point I don't even know, we're concerned about how safe we're going to be and what the teachers there are going to teach us, because I know that the teachers we have right now, they go out of their ways to help us. Miss Kirkham, she does cheerleading with us, and she does tutoring with us, and she has to go down to Phoenix every week to see her daughter and drive back in the morning. Miss Thorne, she's one of the most caring people I've ever met, and she will go out of her way to help a student, like when it's not school-related. Mr. Galley, he makes me laugh a lot. And he does basketball. And Miss Shu is one of the most caring people I've ever met as well. When my mom was in the hospital, she came up to me at one of our neighbor's houses and started hugging me because I was bawling. So what I want to say is these are caring people, and as Miss Thorne has told us a lot of times, they, like the people at Big Park School, are very caring and very wonderful people. So just take that in mind when you think they're just numbers.
Good evening. My name is Bertha Garcia Arizmendi. I have a child, Natalie Arizmendi, in Big Park. So I live in Big Park. I moved 4 years ago. So, and I'm going to have translator because I don't want to make mistakes.
I'll try to translate the best of my abilities, and I hope I don't make the same mistake I did last time. Everybody remembers it, okay?
Okay. Mi niña está muy triste porque se va a mover de escuela.
My little girl is very sad because she's going to move to a different school.
Escuché ahorita que tal vez dejan la escuela abierta, pero no la dejan hasta el 8.
I heard that there's going to be an open school, but not until the 8.
Entonces, para mí es importante que mi hija esté fuera de high school antes de del 9 grado.
To me, it's very important that my child be out of high school before the 9th grade.
Porque aunque dicen que los van a tener separados, es imposible que todo tengan separado.
It's been said that they're going to be separate. It's impossible to keep them separate in real life.
Yo he entrado a los baños y ha habido más jovencitas ahí. Así es que no toda la escuela va a estar segura para ellos.
I have gone to the bathrooms and I have seen little girls there, so the school is not exactly safe.
Así es que si eso pasara, yo tendría que llevar a mi niña a otra escuela, ya que estuve Estuve una vez que lo iba a hacer, pero mi niña no le gustó.
If this is the case, I would have to keep my little girl out of school.
Y una vez la iba a sacar de la escuela y ella no quiso por no perder sus amigas.
One time I was ready to take her off school, but she did not want to go to another school because she did not want to lose her friends.
Cuando ellos se mueven de escuela, es para ellos un gran golpe.
It is a big blow for them when they move or they switch from one school to another.
Tuve mis otros hijos en high school. Uno se graduó porque venía con altos grados de la escuela que venía de California.
One of my older kids graduated because he had better grades from another school when he came from another school.
Si eso no hubiera pasado, él no se hubiera graduado.
If he had not come with that baggage, it would have been very, very difficult for him to graduate.
Porque es un trauma para ellos, más se retrasan en todo la escuela. Cada escuela tiene clases diferentes y todo es diferente, aunque no lo creamos.
It is a trauma for them, even if you don't believe it, when schools are different, even if you don't believe that.
So, así es que para mí, no me gusta la idea que mi hija vaya a high school a temprana edad hasta que sea su tiempo.
To me, I believe that it's not good for my little kid to move to a high school when the time comes. And before her time comes, I repeat, it's not good for me, for my little girl, to go to high school before her time comes.
Yo creo que si la escuela trabaja con los padres e involucra más a los padres y nos enseñan a poder ayudar a nuestros hijos más y ayudar a la escuela, va a ser una ayuda muy grande.
I truly believe that if you work with us, the community, the parents, we certainly will be able to help our kids to do a lot better in school.
Cuando yo me moví a otro estado, llegué a un estado donde tenían una iglesia destruida por dentro y por fuera y endeudada.
When I moved to another state, I found a church that was destroyed inside and out.
Ese año se movió el sacerdote y llegó otro.
That year, a new priest came in.
Entonces el otro empezó a trabajar con la comunidad, a hacer cenas. Todo mundo aquí van a cenar a restaurantes, casi la mayoría. Hacer cenas, hacer fiestas para niños, que es saludable y lugar donde se diviertan.
So he began to work with the community and bringing in restaurants and parties so they could bring in money.
Y antes de un año, él recuperó todo y empezó a trabajar con todo lo que necesitaba y él recuperó todo el dinero que se debía recuperar.
Before a year passed, he was able to gather all the money he needed to restore the church.
Así es que si se trabaja con fe, con la cabeza y el corazón, yo creo que todo se puede.
I truly believe that if we work with faith, our head and our hearts, we will be able to make it.
Todo lo que se quiere se puede conseguir. Así es que nada es imposible.
Everything you want, you can get it. Nothing is impossible.
Así que por favor, no piensen exactamente en el, sé que el dinero es necesario, pero puede llegar.
I know that money is very important, but I also know that the money can arrive.
Así que los niños son los importantes.
The kids are more important.
Gracias.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My name is Brianna Bauer, and I actually have a niece and a nephew that go to Big Park. My niece actually recently came to me crying because she was afraid to leave Big Park due to the fact that her friends are there, and so are these amazing teachers that you're going to have to let go because Big Park won't be there. Take it from me, if not everyone here, I went to a school before this. We had a junior high and high school together. It does not mix well at all, okay? Kids that young should not experience stuff that these high schoolers experience, okay? Thank you. That's a big thing. I've been through it. I've watched kids go through it. They are too young to experience what these high schoolers have to show them. I've talked to a lot of high schoolers here, actually, and they don't want the junior high and high school here together. They want them to stay at Big Park. And I don't want you guys to think that I'm personally bashing on any of you, because I'm not. But if our voices matter, show it to us, because we're saying something, we're a community, and we're trying to help you solve a problem that can be fixed with help from us. And I haven't seen much of you guys ask. Also, I have another nephew going there soon in a few years, and I would like him to experience these teachers that might not be there. Big Park might not be there because it's shutting down. Like Hannah said, a 13-year-old girl came up to here to tell you how much she does not want Big Park to close. Her friends do not want Big Park to close. Their voices matter. They are not just numbers. And I want you guys to understand that. Because I could be just a number to you. But to everyone here, I'm a voice speaking to very professional people. I am 16 years old. And I'm talking to people with experience way more than that. But just take it from a 13-year-old, from the other little girl that had people sign a sheet so that Big Park wouldn't close. Take it from them. Don't close it. Find another way. Plan it out. I don't care. Just keep Big Park. That's all I'm trying to say. Thank you.
My name is Megan Carter. I'm a teacher at West Sedona School. I wasn't going to talk, but after a presenter, I felt that we need to recognize another group of people who, in this face of diversity, has continued every day to hold it together for their personal families and their families of the classroom. They are Zarlingo, Falsetto, Maddie, Zahn, LaFaso, McGuire, Lugville, Woolman, Starr, Drotzman, Frericks, Rush, Sanders, Rice, Palmer, Kathy, Echeverry, Robles, Miss Nelson, Beattie, Horton, Vess, Wilson, Litwicky Jr., Schrader, Carroll, Eric Rice, Rauschi, O'Neill, Ortega, Laura, Renteria, and Mr. Keller. Every day, the West Sedona teachers come to school, give everything to their students. We are as caring and as dedicated as Big Park, and I'm sure the high school's teachers, so I want that known. This continues to be an us versus them, and I apologize for that, but I felt the need that West Sedona needs to have their teachers recognized. We've had just as much upheaval and struggle as Big Park at this time. Every teacher and staff member in this district needs to be recognized. Every one of us have done our jobs throughout this year of controversy. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lori Stewart. I live in the village of Oak Creek. I have two children that have gone to Big Park. One's graduated and one is in fourth grade. And I apologize if I'm speaking out of turn because I have not come to the former meetings and maybe these things have been addressed. But as I'm a local real estate agent, and my perception of this problem is not the expenses of Big Park School, but the income. I have, you know, for the last 15 years, have clients come from all over the country that says our taxes are lower than anywhere they've ever lived. And they're like, is that per month, you mean? I'm like, no, that's per year. And so likewise, we are number, 48 out of 50 in funding. And so this may be way beyond our control, and part of it, you know, we passed the bond several years ago, but I think the problem is our taxes are too low. I think if people, I mean, whether they have a choice or don't have a choice, but paid an extra $500 a year per household, that's a small price to pay compared to the probably what's going to happen with real estate values when a school in our district closes. Different districts around the country, as we all know, you know, schools close, and it's dramatic what happens to the real estate values. People will sell their houses in the village, move to West Sedona, move out of the district. If they're renting, they'll easily move. And there's a huge domino effect that none of us really have the crystal ball to know how that's all going to play out, in addition to obviously the teachers who lose salaries and might move out of our area, et cetera. One other comment on that is several years ago we voted as a community to pass the bond to build this beautiful building and the building at West Sedona and the building in the village. I think as taxpayers, we would have all voted differently if we would have known, well, you can have this beautiful building, but we're going to close the school in a few years. And, you know, none of us knew how that would play out. But, you know, the bottom line is our taxes are low, and I think that needs to be addressed. I don't know how... if we have any control over that, but that's, you know, income is equal a problem as expenses. One thing that somebody had mentioned, a couple schools in our area, not our district, close on Fridays. Camp Verde School closes on Fridays, American Heritage, a couple others. How has the board looked at how that would impact the budget? Would it be dramatic or not? My comment, she said a little bit ago, I personally would not want to send my 12-year-old to the high school where, like every high school in the nation, has sex, drugs, and alcohol and things that they should not be exposed to at age 12. So my vote would be opposed to that. And one small personal comment, like as far as just closing Big Park and shipping your kids to West Sedona, and they may be educated equally. Teachers there are great as well. But one huge factor, like for me personally, I'm a single mom. I'm out showing real estate. I've got 10 minutes to get to the school where my daughter's getting out of school. And if I'm 10, 15 minutes late, they will kindly walk her over to the office where she's well kept, you know, secure and kept by the school. If we go to West Sedona, she gets dropped off at Circle K and she's 10 years old and you're running 5 or 10 minutes late, you know, you're subject to all sorts of things. And so that would be another consideration. So anyway, I thank you all for your time that you donate towards our kids. And we are truly blessed to live in a beautiful area with a school that's clean and, you know, excelling. And we just hope that you would consider not closing the school and look for alternatives. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Ava Hirsch, and I live in the village. We have a grown-up son, never went to school here. We chose the village because of the community. It's an awesome community. And now I hear all this about you all closing, wanting to close the school down. I'm terribly, terribly disappointed. I would have not chosen to move here 4 years ago, nor will I plan to move to Sedona. I'll probably leave the state. But I think that I would not be the only one that would be moving. Our values are going to change. The children's values are going to change because they're going to be subjected to the way Sedona children think or whatnot, the high school. They're exposed to a lot of different elements as opposed to the village. But I in my personal feelings, and I've only been to two other meetings because we're out of state last meeting. I definitely would have been here. But my feeling, too, is, have you thought about the consequences? Yes, the children might be moved, but do you think that all these children will be moved to Sedona? Will those families leave the village? Will they move to Sedona? Probably not because of the expense of it. It's more expensive to live in Sedona. So you're counting on capital per dollars for these children that you think you're going to capture in Sedona. What happens if you don't? What small percentage will you capture from that? But mostly, what is going to happen to the village? Less income? What is going to happen to the people that move out? Who is going to move in? Younger people with families? I don't think so. So they can bus their children to Sedona? I don't think so. So do you want to move back to a retirement community? I don't. I might be getting older, but I'm not that old. You know? So, and we are involved with the community. My husband is on the board. I'm a volunteer for different organizations that are strictly volunteer. And I care about this community. That's why I'm here. So I wish you all would rethink about the repercussions that's going to happen from this closure of the school. Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Josue Vivanco. And I don't have much thing to say, you know, but what I think is closing just one school is not acceptable. And I think that's all what I have to say. Thank you.
Time for one more speaker.
I'm David Gill. Village of Oak Creek. I spoke last time. Much has been said. A very wise person once said that disappointment is the gap between expectation and reality. Mr. Richardson, I really expected you to stand up here and offer a little hope, but all I heard was condemnation of the community. Earlier, Hillary Herschel suggested that you consider forming three different committees to support the board and your superintendent. Part of my disappointment over the last week was to learn not only somebody here mentioned earlier that she did not hear from some board members after writing to you, but a very good friend of mine in the audience tonight received two demeaning responses from board members. That's truly disappointing. I urge you to consider the recommendations of Hillary Hersha to form three separate committees using the expertise in this crowd. We have global experts in our community, global experts in all of these fields. Use them, please.
Okay. Our next agenda item is overview from Superintendent Mr. Likens.
I wanted to extend a welcome to everyone. I've been in this district 17 years and been to many board meetings over many years, and often those board meetings are empty. And so they're not empty anymore, and that's a good thing. And so I wanted to thank everyone for being here tonight, whether you're a parent. I especially want to appreciate the students for being here and remind everyone that we do understand, as I know you do, that's why we all are here, is for them. We've looked at lots of different options. And I'll speak personally for myself, stay up at night trying to think, because it's our passion what we do for your kids. We feel honored to have the opportunity to serve your kids. I wanted to recognize the high school staff. I don't remember every single name, so I don't want to leave anyone out, but I was fortunate enough to get to hear the West Sedona teachers' names, and they do a great job, as well as all their other staff. I was fortunate enough to hear the West Sedona staff members, and they do an excellent job. And the high school staff does as well, and so does the district office staff. We have an opportunity every day to come serve this community. We have the fortune to live here, much like all of you. And we do have an outsourced pipeline problem that the one gentleman said. And I'm going to start with the slide. We're not going to recap every single document. We'll show you a spot on the website where we've been placing a lot of data over the last 9 months. And so I wanted to point out where that is so you can there is a lot of data on there to look at. But it's been 15 public meetings, and to try to go through all of that data tonight, it's why it's called an overview. But I do have a slide to show where you find that data that we have presented, because I think it's important that people know where that is. Also, I wanted to acknowledge our administrators. Our building administrators are on the up on the stage today, and they're going to help me present a little bit of this overview. We also have district administrators. They're over here in the back, and they're with caution tape and trying to keep kids from running around in this giant museum that they are attracted to run around in. So we thank you for your patience. We also thank you for your voice. 12 days ago, we sat here, and it was a changing event in terms of just how we felt in our hearts and our minds as we heard tonight. I know as I sit there, I listen to every word. I don't know if you notice, I write down as many things as I can. We tape this, and so we can hear it, and Jeremy's up there doing that too. It's on the website, and we'll show you where that is too. We did a video last time. It did not turn out very good, so we didn't attempt to duplicate it. We moved the camera back and forth, and it didn't work well. But Jeremy's got his tape, so we'll have the data and the information on here tonight. With that in mind, I also wanted to thank our governing board. Someone mentioned last time that they should get part of their salaries back. Well, they can't get nothing back out of nothing. They work hard, and many of them served on this board for a long time, 16 years to 6 years. And you've heard them say they've run unopposed. And so I don't anticipate that will be an issue in November of 2016. And that's a good thing. And that's a great thing. But we're going to present an overview tonight. Our administrator is going to help out with that. It's a recap of the models that we have discussed and a little bit about it, because some people, that's our first time here tonight. And so we're going to get started with that. And once again, thanks for being here tonight. The first slide is just the spot on the website. If I can get this long-distance clipper working, Jeremy, you may have to help me out on a click. And this is the community partner page, and the board may need to kind of spin a little bit. The building is designed great for a show coming this way, but not behind the board. So this is a community partner page, and if you go up to where it says public up here, if you see the little spot, and you click down on that, this will open up under community partners, and all these are PowerPoints, session notes, the audio recording from the last meeting, work sessions, et cetera, that data that we put on there. We continue to put data on there. Also on the very front page of the website at the bottom, if you just go on the regular website, there's a bulletin that we placed on there too that I was requested to put up so you don't have to go to the community partner page, so it's a little bit easier. So a lot of that data is in there. The presentations that we're going to review today is going to be over our board work sessions in February the 16th, February 23rd, also January 26th. We didn't complete that presentation, so that was not up there, but it was rolled into the following meeting. So our administrators are going to join us momentarily, and Lisa, if I can get the other microphone here, that will be beneficial. Thank you. Jeremy, can you move to the next slide, please? This is going to talk a little bit about numbers, and this is a 12-year slide. It shows 11 years up there, but the trend has continued in this year, which is 12th, and we're predicting declining enrollment last year. Someone mentioned about the enrollment, and if you look at it, it's been descending since 2005. In 2005, I was assistant principal here at Red Rock High School. In 2011, I became the superintendent. And we still had some declining enrollment from there. But from 2005 to 2011 is when the majority of our students have exited our district. That's a good question. As I was the assistant principal at the high school, I asked all those questions of the people that left my school. We never had any kids left the high school. We kept our enrollment. This is not an engaging portion. This is a presentation. So I'm going to stick to that. With that in mind, we're continuing to lose kids. And so I'm going to continue with our presentation. We have another public meeting where there's communication, call to the public, and interaction. So I'm asking you, like we would ask our children in the classrooms of our students, to pay attention, let's follow along. And there's kids here. I'm asking you to model for our kids. There's young kids here. With this, we see a pattern. On the next slide, it shows what our physical pattern moving into this next year will be. This is the slide that people didn't like the name of. The name of the slide, Jeremy, if you switch it, that shows how our current enrollment moving down with this cohort of kids coming through the high school that 3 years ago we did start talking about. And with that, the different weighting factor that comes with that. High school students are funded at a different weight. And so I've asked Colleen to share this information on the next couple slides with this.
So just a real recap for the board and everyone. What we know for sure going into next year is that we're going to be down another 542,000. That's based on this year's ADM from the 100th day compared to last year's 100th day. What we don't know is that second bullet there, that's a projected loss over the next 4 years based on those smaller cohorts moving through the high school. However, a portion of that will be reduced in next year's budget as well because of the change to current year funding, bringing the total budget capacity reduction over 3 to 4 years, depending on current year funding, to just over $1.18 million.
Item, and we can't engage the discussion, sir.
The 1.18 is a cumulative total over the 3 years. So in year one, we know for sure we will be down 542,000. Over the next 3 years after next year, it'll be an additional 640,000 to that original 542 number. However, a portion of that 640,000 with current year funding, if it stays in place through this legislative session, will be added to that 542 in year one. But the cumulative total lost over those 3 years would be 1.18.
Jeremy, if you can flip the slide for me. So the models that we presented and the administrative team, it's not my presentation, it's our administrative team that's put this together, which has over 300 years of different experience. People who are new to our district, that came from out of state, that come from other states in Arizona, so they bring other knowledge to us, not just the knowledge from the people who's been in our district for an extended period of time. So we thought that was, and I still think that, was a positive contribution to our team. And they've worked solidly on this as well. With this model, I'll ask Mr. Cruces to discuss the high school slide in review, and there's a microphone that I'd placed over here somewhere, and you can keep it for that side of the table. Thank you, Mr. Cruces.
All right. As this possibility of a 7 through 12 model came to discussion several months ago, our high school staff and our leadership team and through site council and through other different meetings and with the board, so I'm just going to recapitulate kind of what we think would be a good delivery model with four things in place: school safety, instruction and delivery, facilities, and student services. And so what you see here is a six-period model where truly there's a lot of research out there. All over the country, all over the world, there's 7 through 12 models. There's challenges, there's opportunities with those. We would never go into that without research, without data, without an A-rated staff for 8 straight years putting all their thoughts and as well as the communities. So what you see here is a model set up to retain and sustain current programs and teachers and increase at the high school level. And then also, if the 7th and 8th did come to the high school facility, it would be a separate school. And you would, if we would go back just one, the opportunity for 7th and 8th graders to have specials to each every 9 weeks, and then some, the enrichment programs, the extracurriculars, the opportunity to have their own school, and increased extracurriculars is out there and is a great opportunity. So then part of that model we looked at, if we go to the next slide, is, again, a lot of research and a lot of thought on how we keep kids separate. And this high school is, I don't know who designed it, but it's truly built for kind of the red pieces there would be where the 7th and 8th graders would go. And it's separate buildings, separate bathrooms, separate gymnasiums on the bottom, separate drop-off pickup. And again, we would go into that with the safety of kids first and supervision and, of course, instruction and curriculum and those pieces. But this is kind of what the model looks like. And we've presented twice at our site council. We've presented several times at board meetings here. And we will continue to do so if this model comes about. And it's something that we're passionate about, we would work hard at, we feel comfortable that we could do this at our facility with the schools. And was there any questions from the board?
One thing I wanted to add in, Mr. Cruces, I'm sorry, we kind of didn't chat about that when we reviewed our presentation, but Randy brought it up, and it's a good point. Jeremy, could you go back one slide, please? And you look at the bottom, those bottom five, those would be middle school teachers that are currently in our district delivering that middle school instruction. It wouldn't be high school teachers teaching core math, English, history, science, and those core subjects. If any restructure would take place, those teachers would be teaching that instruction, not the high school teachers teaching the math and the high school. It would be the middle school teachers teaching that. And so it would be middle school instructors teaching core academics to middle school students. And that was one thing I did want to address. So we're going to move through the presentation and give the board a chance for some questions. There's only a couple slides left from Jay and Scott. Jay and Scott.
We can't take it apart, so we can ask the questions with the slides up. You're asking me? No, no. Well, do you have new questions?
Sorry. Can you go back to those? You're doing great, Jay. Thank you. Right. So you guys know where I stand. There's still more work for me in my head before I would sign on for this plan. One, we haven't even had a chance to hear from the staff on block scheduling versus a six-model schedule versus a blended schedule, and that's important. It took me a lot of years, as some of you will remember, for me to understand and accept the block schedule and the exhibition, but I know it works because I've had four daughters graduate from the high school. They're all well past their college years and in successful careers, largely because of the education they receive from our school district that I'm immensely proud of. But before we go to that, we've got to stop back and step back and find out, how is this going to look? How does our staff feel about it? What does it improve? What are the deficits that it's going to create? I've heard in the past, the very first presentation, they'd be completely separated. Then in the second board work session, it was they would have some combining of clubs and activities. That raises a red flag. Will we be able to bus them separately? That's another question I have. Sure.
I'm just going to answer only because middle school is kind of my background, those who know me, so I don't mean to jump on your... in our discussions, and we talked about this today in our meetings, when you see these people, they travel to the middle school. The middle school does not travel to their classrooms, for one thing. So it's not like the middle school is walking through the high school to go to a science class. That teacher is coming to them for these yellow ones up there at the high school area for the electives. All right, unless they're coming down into this building or into the gymnasium, which can be come down through the back here. That there's a separate bus. Right. No, the middle schoolers would come around the back and go to any elective class that happened in this building. So like theater or music. I mean, it's entirely separate from those buildings over there. So they wouldn't be passing through any other building to get there. And there's a separate bus. I also worked at the high school. Sorry, those who don't know me, I work now at Big Park. I used to work at Big Park Middle School. Then I was at the high school. Now I'm back at Big Park. So there's a separate bus drop-off area in the back as well. So they don't need to be dropped off down here with the regular population. They have their own bus circle back there. So that also could keep them separate. So, pardon me, I this was an interactive. Which one? You're asking the wrong
person. We've got a transportation piece that we can address over here, but that's why we wanted to move through the presentation.
Okay. So anyway, that's just the answers to that you need to...
Bobby, I'd like to address one of the questions. I think you were asking about after-school extracurricular programs. There might be some crossover with high school clubs, with middle school clubs, and things like that. The way I envision that, and certainly there's a lot of work to be done, we researched this model, the delivery model, and the ability to meet the needs of our high school students and middle school students at the same time by sharing services between the elective teachers with both high school and middle school kids. But we have started talking about the extracurricular things that we can add to that, the value added to those kids, and the ability to possibly have some leadership opportunities for, say, Key Club to come over and mentor some of the middle school kids in their clubs. How your National Honor Society is now going to directly mentor the Junior National Honor Society. But we're talking about very small clubs with leadership potential already there that could really provide that model experience for those younger kids. So, yes, we did mention that there could be some crossover in those areas. But to be honest, we haven't really dove deeply into those types of offerings yet, because we didn't know if this would be what we were going with. But we did want to look at, is there a delivery that could meet the needs of both on our campus? And this is what we felt really could do that. And we have talked about this with our staff.
I know. So just in closing, for one board member's thoughts, I really think, again, holistically, it's just too much of a time crunch. We need more time to hear from our teachers, to delve to the next level of fleshing this out. I think it's been a great start. Obviously, a lot of hard work on the administrator's behalf and working with the staff to come up with this in such a short timeline. But I think we just need to delve to the next level before we make that final decision.
Jeremy, I think we can skip ahead a couple slides. All right, so we've seen this side a bunch, I think. Again, this is just review for those of you who have not been to all these meetings. We've seen these slides a number of times. And basically, this just shows Big Park Community School next year, given current enrollment and what it would look like. It has multi-level classrooms just because every group of kids doesn't break down into 25, and it's awkward, and so they need to be split up. And to have equity, that needs to be split in order to provide for our most vulnerable students. We need to make sure that we follow federal law and have adequate covering for special education over 7 grade levels and make sure that we have a health aide in the classroom, or not in the classroom, but at the school at least half time. So that's why you see this bizarre little red arrow there, because this is one model of providing for a special education teacher and a health aide given what's in that box. Those two positions need to come out of that box somewhere. So that's where that comes from. And saying that, it should be known, and the board, I've said this before, that this, our site council has seen this, our staff has seen this, and everyone is committed and dedicated and make sacrifices and work hard and make this work. And, you know, eyes open is what I like to call it. And, you know, do what needs to be done. And whatever model we choose, the staff, as always, just like administration and the board, as always, will rise up, will provide, and, you know, they will pull this off. So, and they are very dedicated about doing that. All right? I'm sorry. It's all village members. We meet as a staff, and everybody on our site council is from the village. And, you know, if you follow this, I mean, we've been in the newspaper with a letter supporting this program or some iteration of it that, you know, again, like Ms. DeWitt said, you know, you don't have the blueprint drawn in detail at this point. And it's just, you need to be told to do it, because we couldn't do it for 6 different models in detail. We need to do it for 1 model in detail.
All right, good evening. I'm presenting the template of what West Sedona School could look like for the 16-17 school year. I presented this to you multiple times over the past 3 months. On the left-hand side, it shows the FTEs, teaching positions that we would have. It shows the reduction in our special areas, from what we currently have to what it would be for next school year. On the right-hand side, it shows our staffing, reduction of the counseling and secretarial positions for West Sedona School, and the talking points that I discussed about the health, safety, and welfare of our students with the reduced staffing positions that we have of West Sedona. So this is the template that I've discussed multiple times with you. Any questions regarding that?
Know how Jay loves being put on the spot. And I know we saw it early on. Tonight, will we see a slide what it would look like in staff and service reductions if we were 2K8s for next school year?
We didn't do this slide, but for Big Park, it would basically be in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 kids in the middle school. So what that would mean for Big Park is you would have a middle school for 7th and 8th graders that would have 2 teachers. So that also comes into play. For me, that's not a middle school experience. As a middle school teacher, to only have two teachers. But how can you have more than two teachers at 25 kids per teacher? I mean, this is just the way it is. And that's why some of these things are just the best that you make out of what the hand that you're dealt. And that's why I have to say that I support moving the middle school to the high school. It can be done. I've worked both places. My heart is in the middle school. And I would find it to be very challenging to serve four highly qualified core subjects with two teachers and have those kids have a real middle school experience. I don't think I would send my own kid there.
All right. And to continue putting you on the spot, sorry, Jay. I agree. There is huge compromises. But I know, and I don't do this to you often, but I'm really going to do it tonight. I know it is. So my question to you is, though it's not ideal, and I agree, 40 students is not enough for a junior high experience. But again, I still think we need more time. Is this a doable process for a year to let us dig in deeper to the next level of how do we combine two schools? Is it doable, though not ideal?
Yeah, I'd like to hear from her.
Okay, I'll go ahead and address something first that we did discuss as an administrative team, and Jay does have extensive middle school experience. It's finding those highly qualified teachers for teaching the subject areas of science, math, language arts, and social studies. It's difficult to find those dual certified teachers. So if you're dealing with two teachers to service, was it 40 students?
I don't have the number. It's between 40
and 50. That's a more challenging position to recruit and hire for. For anything else in servicing in that kind of model, I'd defer for Jay to discuss.
You know, I'm a social person. I just think you need a critical mass of kids. And, I don't know. That's for those parents to decide, I guess, whether or not we can, put their kids in that position to buy ourselves another year. I mean,
let me ask you a question, Jay. Do you think this is a doable model in 1 year
this?
Now?
No. To keep it K-8 or to do K-6?
7th and 8th grade this year. What's your
7th and 8th grade, absolutely. I don't know why this is so controversial. I've got a stack of research, and I saw something on Facebook where somebody was saying how Philadelphia is pulling away from this. I searched for 20, 30 minutes trying to find this where they got that data from. And instead, all I found was stacks and stacks of stuff about 7-12 schools in Canada, in the United States, and around the world. And those are schools that aren't even separating the populations like we are. So it's maybe different for this community, but it's not radical. It just isn't. And it's absolutely doable. And in this time, absolutely.
I think the anxiety is, as a community in the formation of our school district, when we asked our community what their values were, what they wanted, and that was a large consideration of how we formed our school. And frankly, it was a big educational process to understand the high school. For me, it was a huge process to understand the benefits of a radically new idea that was completely opposite of my experience of high school. So I'm not saying this isn't possible, but I do think it takes more than saying I've done the research. It's bringing the community in. It's discussing the research. It's shoring up those, few things that we haven't had time to think about or had time to plan in depth because you've been looking at so many models. Then come back and propose to the board. That's my thought.
And I guess in closing, I feel that we've done a lot of that, and I don't know what more you want. And I'm sorry, I guess I'll make enemies or go out on a limb or something. But, I mean, I've got 24 years of experience in middle school and high school, and I know that everybody else is an expert, but I really do know what I'm talking about, and it's really insulting for people who maybe have shown up to their first meeting to tell me I don't. And I'll end on that. I'll hang myself right there.
Randy, I'll be glad to meet with you if you wanted to do that. But right now we're doing a presentation, and we can't engage with the community per the legal requirement, as you know. As I just mentioned to Randy. And so the next presentation is the other model that was presented, and we pull that up. It's identical model. Half of it is the high school didn't change.
Colleen, can you address this slide before we move to the other piece?
I just wanted to real quick, because we haven't seen the numbers in a couple presentations with the board, so just real quick a reminder that in this model, this is the staff savings and operational savings in district-wide and transportation service savings at just over $1.1 million. But that's a reminder, that's over 3 years. So the staff cuts would not be that deep in year one in this model. This is the total cuts over 3 years.
And then, Jeremy, if you could move to the second model, please. Thank you. And the other model that was presented was have one K-6 school and one 7-12 school. This is identical to the previous slide, and so is the second slide. It just shows the campus again. And then the third slide would be the combined enrolled classes of all of our K-6 students onto one campus. And this was the presentation that's been given over the last three or four meetings. In terms of what a possible template, not the necessary template, would be, that would show the amount of staffing based on the clustering of students that we'd be able to have. As you heard Jay say earlier, when you have larger numbers of students, you can put them in cohorts and in classified or in classes because there's larger numbers to do that. If current year funding does impact us, which we think that it will, like most districts, and that's a point that when I heard Zach mention earlier, is that we're facing new things that no one's faced. It is. In current year funding, no one's ever faced that yet in any state. And so we don't know where, and there's 64% of the other school districts in the exact same situation facing current year funding. When you're looking at moving into a new year with new changes and current year funding, that's a different variable. And how do we apply our resources to those variables? Some are known and some are unknown. With that, in this model, would be that was one of the strengths of putting it that model was to look at protecting its services. And as you can see, there's opportunities at the talking points. There's some more opportunities, classes, because we could save in the overheads of buildings and put those into programs for kids. But we also know that that breaks up our community schools that we have in that order, and we heard that very loudly in our meetings that we've had. The next slide is kind of a combination of Colleen's going to show the difference between those two, and then we've got some questions that were presented to us from the last meeting that we were able to provide some answers to as well.
So just once again, how it breaks down with the staffing totals over the 3 years under this model with closing one of the K-6 elementary schools. You can tell that the subtotal there for staffing and operational savings is actually less than what we saw under the previous model. The total jumps, and it's solely because of the utilities or potential rental revenues. So as far as the staffing goes, they're pretty much an identical, very, very close model over the 3 years. Jeremy? This shows you the FTE comparison by job type, certified, classified, year-round classified, administration under the two models. This is the cumulative total of those staffing cuts over 3 years. So you would not see a reduction of 15 teachers under the 2K6, 1712 model in year one. That would be over 3 years, a reduction of 15 certified FTEs. But you can see comparing the two, they're very, very similar. You actually cut a little bit more in your certified staff and a little bit less in administration, obviously having three campuses open versus two. But the rest is very, very similar. In our original presentations to the board in January, we had the detail which went and had columns for year one, year two, and year three, and what those reductions would look like in all of those areas. So yes, they're in the original presentations. All of those presentations are on the Community Partners page. Jeremy? We had several questions come up at the last meeting, one of them being the budget process and revisions to the budget, and if the budget that the board is looking at now and adopting this summer, would it be set in stone? The short answer is no. It's not set in stone until the final revision process is completed. However, there's some unknowns in what next year's revision process with the budget will look like with current year funding. Right now, the first bullet there, the district adopts a budget in July. However, the budget has to be revised once final numbers come in from ADE, once they complete a statewide recalculation of everybody, all the districts and all the charters ADM from the prior year. And then you have to have a final revision by May 15th of that current school year. With the change to current year funding, the state is not moving up that statewide recalculation time frame. So they would still be not giving us final numbers until August of the next school year after that current school year that you're getting current funding on and staffing for is already done. So you wouldn't know final numbers to set your budget in stone until 14 months after you've adopted that budget or you've set your tax rates, which is going to cause issues with consistency in property tax rates. So the short answer again is no, it's not set in stone. It never has been because we have revisions throughout the entire year once ADE finalizes our numbers. However, with the change to current year funding, I foresee they're going to need to change the revision deadline from May 15th because how can we submit a final revised budget by May 15th if we won't know our final student numbers until August? So, Jeremy? We also had the question come up about how much is closing Big Park saving the district. I want to go back to, because I'm the numbers person, but that's not the only lens we've been looking through. I stressed strongly with the board at our very first board meeting in January what I felt the importance of looking through that educational academic lens was. And I think we've shown from the previous slides that the models financially are almost identical when it comes to staffing, the reductions, the cuts. What it really comes down to is those educational and academic programs and offerings for our students and what the community wants, what the community values, and then what we've heard from our experts, the administrative team, and what the board feels. So we've really been trying to look through both of those lenses as we've moved through this process.
Thank you, Colleen. Just as a clarification, whenever there's in a board meeting, when there's presentation to the board, unless it's an agendized work session where we can interact and take questions and answer those, we cannot engage in those type of communications unless that's an agendized piece for a work session for that to happen. And that tonight's agenda is a special meeting for the board to consider two potential action items or not consider. And I'm going to see if there's questions from the board for me before I move forward.
It wasn't so much a question. I know somebody said something tonight about taxes and the override, and I got a couple of emails from people. And I just wanted to let everybody know, particularly I think a couple of the people were new to Arizona, that the school board has, we have no ability to change your property tax rate. The state of Arizona is going to tell us you have this many students, therefore you can have a budget for that amount of money. Even if every single person in Sedona would vote yes to raise their property taxes or to raise a sales tax, there is no way the board can do that. That's not, you know, legally it's beyond our control. The only time we can ask you for additional property taxes is an override, and that comes out for a vote every 5 years, which will be up again in a couple of years. Somebody mentioned to me again about city sales taxes, city property tax, or county property taxes. Once again, we have no control over that. If you can convince the city of Sedona or Yavapai County to raise a tax that benefits only one community, and neither of those taxing entities are likely to do that. So we're sort of stuck with these figures. We have no taxing flexibility built in. I've heard that. The one person who knew to me, I knew, was someone who just moved to Arizona, and they moved from a state where the tax structure was quite different. But that's something, you know, we cannot do. We have to go with the property tax rate that goes with the number of students we have.
Thank you, Karen. Governing Board, members of the Sedona Oak Creek Joint Unified School District number 9. On your board agenda, you have two action items marked Roman numeral 7 and Roman numeral 8. Roman numeral 7 is the language that would be needed to restructure our schools, resulting in one school which serves grades 7 through 12 on this Red Rock High School campus, and two schools which would serve grades kindergarten through 6 on our current school campuses in the Big Park Community School and West Sedona School campus. Roman numeral 8 is the language needed to restructure our school district into one school, which serves grades 7 through 12, and one school, which serves all district students in grades K through 6 on the West Sedona School campus, which would result in the closure of Big Park Community School for the academic year of 2016 and 17. I would like to share with this board that their administrative team has worked diligently and collaboratively to provide this governing board with the data surrounding the finance and instructional delivery concerning these models. As this data has shown, the financial data presented can work in either model that's listed on the agenda. Additionally, I have the confidence that this administrative team, our teaching and support staff, can deliver either of these instructional models listed under Roman numeral 7 and Roman numeral 8 to our students with both compassion and care. However, the board has heard in previous public meetings the administrative team's value that they placed on these two different models. Lastly, you, the governing board members, have heard from our community their desires for their instructional models for school year 2016 and 17. You've heard of this either in public meetings, work sessions, roundtables, community forums, phone calls, either you made or received, emails that were either forwarded to you, you copied on, or you responded to, or sent yourself, or through your own conversations and dialogue as a community member here in the Sedona Oak Creek Unified School District. With this in mind, I turn the agenda over to the board president and direct the board's attention to first action item, Roman numeral 7, on the agenda for discussion of possible action from the governing board.
The next one is item 7, and I would like to make a motion, and I'll read it. The wording is a little bit different than what's on there. It contains some extra legal language. I move to approve the proposal to reconfigure and reconstruct the district schools as follows. The Big Park Community School and the West Sedona School will become elementary schools, serving the district's kindergarten through sixth grade students. The district's seventh and eighth grade students will be served at a combined junior-senior high school to be located on the current Red Rock School campus. The Red Rock High School will continue to serve the district's 9th through 12th grade students at its current campus location, and this proposed reconfiguration and restructuring is conditioned upon review and approval by the Arizona School Facilities Board. Second. Yeah.
Discussion?
I'd like to, I don't think we're going to get to number 3, which is I move to deny and disapprove the proposed closure of Big Park Community School and reconfiguration of the remaining district school. I think it's going to be 1 or 2 that the board majority votes on. I'd also like each of our votes to count, including my own. So I'd like to see it amended that the combination of the high school is separate, so that there's 2 separate actions. A vote on whether Big Park and West Sedona remain open, and a separate vote on whether we combine junior high school, middle school on the high school campus.
And so what you're saying is make a motion to keep everything exactly the same that it is.
What's that?
So you're wanting to make a motion.
No, I'm saying at least give me the option to state two separate votes.
Two separate votes.
Right. So let me be more specific. I'm not going to vote tonight in favor of moving the junior high to the high school yet. I think that's something that has to be studied further. So this proposed motion leaves me only one choice, but to vote no against keeping Big Park and West Sedona as is. And that's disingenuous. That's not my opinion. My opinion is the district needs to remain the same. If you want to break it up into 2 sections, 2 different votes, keeping West Sedona and Big Park open, and a separate vote on whether we're going to move junior high to the high school.
And once again, this was ran through your board council, Bobby, as I shared with you,
right,
and the rest of the board members' council, and who had reviewed all of our notes from all of our meetings, and he put these motions together based on our models
that we presented with extensive research and wording. And so these were the two models that were presented. These are the two action items.
There's never just one. There's never just one proposed language. We've got to be clear, and we have a catch-all that's been put into several other districts, not just ours, and that's that protection. This proposed reconfiguration and restructuring is conditioned upon the review and approval by Arizona School Facilities Board. So if there is a misstep in how we phrase it, it can be readdressed very easily. I think you can accommodate my desire to have two separate votes. So at the end of the night, I can vote how my true opinion on both separate issues, and they are separate issues.
So what you want to do is amend that motion to create one motion that would be the first, one motion that would be the districts in 7th and 8th grade students and those following sentences as one motion to be voted on
one
separately.
One motion,
and
then
then if that passes, things change. If that does not pass, then we go back to voting on the motion as stated. So does that, what is my understanding, what you'd like to amend it,
amend the motion? Two different separate motions.
Well, if the to create one motion that would talk specifically about moving the junior high students to the high school,
I'd
which
like
we
that
then,
to
if
be
you
separate.
Propose that and someone seconds it, we can then vote on if your amended motion then does not pass, then we go back to looking at what it says here, right? So we take an initial vote on separating out. So one, if I'm listening to what you're saying, you want to have a motion that would say the district's 7th and 8th grade students will be served at a combined junior-senior high school, and the rest of that sentence first voted on as a separate issue.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think we need to keep...
Bobby is. I'm just. That's if Bobby makes the motion, is that the? I'm just want to understand.
That's
what
I'm making.
Yeah. And for the purpose of discussion, I'll second that motion. Yeah. Yeah. The motion we made to amend so that you then are voting on a. Yeah. If there's after whatever discussion, we're voting on a motion that would talk specifically about moving the junior and senior high school students as a separate issue from what happens to the rest of the, whether it's one school or two schools.
I think I'll lose this vote on the junior high. I think it's clear to me by past comments, but it does give me the ability to vote accurately. While it doesn't change the outcome, I don't believe it'll change the outcome, it's important that I have the ability to vote my conscience. And I can't do that with combining this motion into two. And I doubt very much we'll get down all the way to motion three, which is to deny and disapprove of the proposed closure of Big Park School and the reconfiguration of the remaining schools. And I don't think I'm going to get to that. I don't think I'm going to get a second on it.
Everybody has to vote on whether they want to vote on that amending the motion to have it read starting as one motion reading that. So it's two separate votes rather than one vote. I just think they're two somewhat separate issues. I think we should vote on them separately and see what the board feels on that. I think everybody in the audience needs to know what the board's views are on the whole of the issue, because we deserve, everybody needs to know why we're voting on what we're doing and what we feel on the various components of this issue. As I said, if nobody else, we now have to take a vote, right? To take a vote to accept an amendment motion. Yeah, so the next thing you have to vote on whether the majority of the board will accept that amendment doesn't mean you agree or disagree, it just means you want to give have the chance to vote on it as a separate issue.
So, am I confusing completely? Well, I just want to know exactly how you want to word this then.
The from Bobby Wright, just a motion that starts for the moment with the sentence, the district 7th and 8th grade students?
Right.
Then the motion.
I'm looking for two separate votes.
Yes.
One to move the junior high and one to keep our two schools open.
Yeah.
So yes, an amended motion that would split it at the first three, the sentence that starts with the district 7th and 8th grade students would be one motion, and the first three lines about the kindergarten through 6th grade would be a separate, we would have take two votes. But what you're voting on now is whether you want to amend the motion and vote and allow everybody to vote on it.
If we vote to move the junior high to the high school and keep both schools open, that means the other two schools will be K through six. So it's all saying yeah.
I disagree. If I vote on one as proposed, then I'm stating that I agree to move the junior high to the high school. I don't. I do agree to keep both of our schools open, and I'd like to separate those two. It's not going to change the outcome, but it allows each of the board members to vote separately and their true vote, not a compromise, not a half-truth.
Well, if we make this motion to keep West Sedona School and Big Park Community School grades K through 6, and we don't say we're going to send them to the high school, what are we going to do with them?
No, that's why you vote on the junior high person.
The motion
first.
Is to split it in two motions. The first vote would be on the high school, on moving the junior high students to the high school, which either passes or fails. If that passes, we have a different issue, and we're going to the third issue on down here. If the majority of the board votes to move the junior high students to the high school, then we're back. It just gives people a chance to split that up in two separate votes in case there are other board members who want to vote differently on those two issues. I think it's just, a matter of courtesy, and we should do that. If everybody votes to move the students to the junior high, then we can continue on, and then obviously we're voting on one or two schools.
So the first motion is to keep K through 6... High school?
Yeah. Two motions, and for obvious reasons, the motion that comes first is whether or not you want to move the high school students, the junior high students. If the board votes to move them, then obviously the next motion is concerning first or second, or one or two schools. But if the board chooses to vote that they do not want to move the high school students, then we're going to the third option that was presented on the board table.
If I hear the board correct, you're wanting a motion to say, the first motion being the Sedona Creek Unified School District will serve its 7th and 8th grade students will be served in a combined junior-senior high school to be located on the current Red Rock High School campus. The Red Rock High School will continue to serve the district's 9th through 12th grade students at its current campus location. This proposed reconfiguration and restructuring is conditioned upon review and approval of the Arizona School Facilities Board. If you want a majority vote on that, I need three board members to say that, and that will be the motion. Then the second motion would be move to approve the proposal reconfiguration and restructure the district schools as follows, Big Park Community School and West Sedona School. That has to be tied into the second part of that, and then you have to have a third motion to say for Bobby not to close the school, say he wants to not close the schools. We need a third if we want to amend the motion. And after that, you can vote. We had a first and a second. Board, we need a third person to say to amend.
No, it's not for the vote.
To vote, right. Right. Well, have.
So it's all in favor?
No, we're voting on amending the motion. Okay.
Okay, John. What we're voting on is we're voting on to accept that we will change the wording of the amendment or the motion to take two separate votes, first on the high school, second on the elementary school. So all you're voting now is that say yes, I agree to split that into two votes?
Simply, I was asking Bobby, are we taking the vote that she's going to say yes on first or the vote that she's going to say no on first? So, Bobby, we're taking the 7th, 8th grade to the high school motion first.
I think that makes sense. John, yes, I think that makes the most sense, great. Obviously.
Okay, who's in favor of change of motion, say aye.
Aye.
So that's three votes.
Okay.
So let me go back and vote on the... Okay. Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Robert's Rules of Order is lots of fun. Okay, so then now what we're... The proposed motion that we'd be voting on and discussing first and voting is the motion to move the 7th and 8th grade students to a combined junior and senior high up at the high school. So now it stands. Any other discussion on that specific issue? Voted to accept that motion. Okay. So you're left now with just for any discussion specifically on moving the high school students, and then we'll vote on that. Moving the 7th and 8th to the high school, sorry. It's been a long day. Is there anybody?
Okay. We need new first and second? Yeah. Okay. Bobby?
So the first vote would be the district 7th and 8th grade students will be served at a combined junior, senior high school to be located at the current Red Rock High School campus. The Red Rock High School will continue to serve the district's 9th through 12th grade students at its current campus. This proposed reconfiguration and restructuring is conditioned upon review and approval by the Arizona School Board of Facilities Board.
I'll second that. And I did have some other just comments. Bobby first, I second it. So, okay. On this one, I just want to say I've listened to what Jay has to say, and I second this for the purpose of discussion because I think it's important that we break this up so everybody can hear reasoning on, because this is a complicated issue. That's not just one simple yes or no question. And I think we have to move the junior high students. If I had a parent of a 7th grader right now, knowing my son when he was in school, he would have failed with two teachers in his junior high class. He needed those four people to get through junior high. You know, he needed to have a social studies, an English, a math, and a science teacher. He would not have done as well with just two teachers. You know, that, you know, his own personality and things. And I know we've all gone through, you know, different things. This was my high school experience. I went to a school that was kindergarten through 9th grade, and then moved to one that was kindergarten through 12th grade, where we shared a corridor and bathrooms and lunch hours with 7th through 12th grade. We didn't share teachers, but we shared the same facilities. We shared the same facilities, and you know, of kindergarten through 9th grade. At that point, you know, we did not have public transportation. We didn't have buses. We all took public transportation on our own on subways in a large city, and I can see that, to my mind, we just are disadvantaging even waiting 1 year for those students who will have one math and science teacher and one English and social studies teacher, that I don't see how one teacher can possibly take care of all the differing educational needs of those 20 students, those who need extra help, those who are highly advanced, and some of those students then are going to reach the high school without being as well prepared as they could have been, whether they are kids who need extra help or kids who are advanced and ready for high school work in 9th and 8th grade, because I don't see how one teacher can take those group of kids and give them all the attention and the time they need academically. And disadvantaging the junior high students is just too important. We can't afford to have students reach high school not ready to do high school level work. You know, that just sets us up for a repeated failure in future years. So on this one issue, I honestly feel we have to make that change and move the junior high students to the same high school campus.
And for me, Karen, just the opposite. My mind's not made up in the future of whether a junior high campus at the high school can't be accomplished. But first, I want more in-depth study. Second, we need a committee
of community members to the board to study this issue over the next 6 months and make recommendations to the school board. Our administrators have put a lot of work into researching in a very limited time what they can come up with, but I am hopeful that collectively we could come up with new ideas. And if it is at the high school, then at least we'd have the time necessary to flesh out all of the details that we have not had a chance to do yet. So I don't think one more school year, even if it's 40, 50 students, isn't an attainable goal and very likely could be the greater benefit of whatever our decision is for the following year.
When we were going to separate the schools at West Sedona from K to 6 and 7 and 8, I did a lot of research on this. I spoke to the two previous superintendents, and they thought it was a good idea. They sent me to a number of different places to research it, and separating the junior high from the elementary seemed to be the way to go. I was a little disappointed when it was unraveled. But I think it's important we move forward. You say wait a year, but that's 1 year a seventh grader just lost out on seventh grade. And I think we need to give everybody as much opportunity as possible. I've got confidence in our administrators to put this together, and I think we don't waste the year.
This is on the seventh, eighth grades to the high school. Okay. I'd like to see a hands of all those people that are going to apply to be on the school board this coming November. I'm not, but we've got 1, 3. Okay, we have 4. The gentleman up here that spoke so well, you could interrupt us if you just ran for the school board. So, for the sake of being able to have the opportunity to interrupt us, would you run? I will, and my number is John. My number's on all the signs, and I would love to give you that challenge.
No, wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt. We've told him we can't take questions from the audience, nor can we call out questions to you.
I just wanted hands. Here's what my point is. Here's what my point is it doesn't end this evening. It will go on and on and on. The decisions we have made a direction that we will now pursue. It is the feeling, the unanimous feeling of the school board that once a vote is taken, it is unanimous. And we push as hard as we can toward the vote that has been taken. We have taken a vote for 2 schools. And now we will do the best we can, everyone on the board and everyone in the audience, for 2 schools. We haven't yet taken the vote yet. We have taken the vote. For the 7th and 8th grade, I would encourage the audience to embrace the vote of the board and do the best you can to make that work. Okay. I'll sit down. Thank you.
Do you have anything to say? I think it's important that everybody on the board comment upon why they're voting yes or no on these issues. I don't think anybody on the board, I know Tommy didn't have anything to say. I don't think anybody on the board can just vote yes or no without explaining why they want to vote yes or no on any of these issues, because we owe it to everybody here to understand our reasoning, which may or may not, something we say may then trigger a point with someone else, but we have to.
Well, as far as moving the 7th and 8th grade to the high school, I have full faith in our administration to make it work, and our teachers, I have faith in them as well. And to me, it's the only thing that makes sense.
When I first faced the challenge of two schools versus one, I thought I would never, ever, ever close Big Park. I came here 29 years ago and lived at Big Park. And it was a part of the community, and it would hurt the community irreparably. And then I got on the school board. I was nominated. I ran for re-election, but nobody else ran, and so we were taken off the ballot and re-elected as the same board members, and 2 years later the same thing happened. So I found myself in this situation that I didn't want to be in. There's an intangible side and a tangible side, and it was a struggle within me. And those people that thought that I would vote for consolidating schools for whatever reason, they didn't know that I was unsure. And it really was the intangible part of it that kept pulling me, and the tangible part of it I kept wanting to overcome. And I had a good friend of mine say, just resign because you can't make up your mind. And let the other people do it. Unfortunately, I took my job seriously, and I thought, you need to really come to closure on this. So what I decided was, with the challenges and the commitments and the promises, Heather Herman was instrumental in asking me to give it a chance, give the community a chance to rise up and fulfill and make this a successful, vibrant school. And that influenced my decision. And so this week, as the Red Rock News called me swing, I got 80 emails, 15 phone calls, and I was convinced that there are guts here, there are commitments. And if we all remember this tomorrow and continue in 2 and 3 years to strive to achieve our commitments, this will be a vibrant school. If we don't, it won't. And I'm sorry I confused myself and you up there. I was just really focusing on the next three school board members are going to have a tough job. Because there will be 50 people in the room that will want the opposite of what we voted. And I won't be here to defend how I voted. I'll be gone. So that's the reason I voted to do this, is because I would rather give the community a chance to have it forever than to be the board member that just looked at the numbers.
Then, John, I think we're very close in our opinions, because for exactly the same reasons you've stated, that the community has swayed you and you believe that there's this groundswell that could help us solve our financial problems. It's the same thing for moving our junior high to the high school. We need time to evaluate the block versus a traditional six schedule, or is it a combined schedule? I haven't heard from any teachers on the benefits or concerns that they have. We haven't had a chance to work with our community to find out, is there another solution that we haven't thought of? So I think that it applies to both questions, the junior high and keeping our schools open.
Are you saying the block system? I've talked to a lot of students, and all right. So what we're voting on right now is moving the 7th and 8th grade to the high school, right? We've got a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Raise your hand so we can see. All opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion passes. Okay, the second half.
Okay, then the second half of that would be, I move to approve the proposal to reconfigure and restructure the district schools as follows. The The Big Park Community School and the West Sedona School will become elementary schools serving the district's kindergarten through sixth grade students. The second part that we just voted against, we don't need to repeat that again. We just need the first part. So then the first one is to vote on approval. Facilities board. So then this second vote is regarding, would be to keep Big Park Community School and the West Sedona School both open as K through sixth grade schools.
Okay, to simplify this, the motion is basically either to keep two K to six schools or one. And we vote yes, we keep two schools. We vote no, we keep one. And do we have a second? Do you want a second?
Second.
Okay, so now we'll have discussion.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a few things on this. Just want to say I know that I've been in touch with some of you people in person. Some people have sent me emails. And when we started this process, I want to say the last meeting, I was really glad to see so many people come out and promise to help. It's one thing for me to go and ask an individual person, will you help if we do this? And they say yes, and then maybe you're not, but it's quite a lot different to hear them come up and say, my name is such and such, and I have this kind of expertise. I will give that kind of time and volunteer to do money raising, serve on a committee, all the things we heard tonight and last time in particular. And that was very surprising. One other just encouraging sign on that I want to say, I sent an email to a few of the people who contacted me talking about the need to create a coordinated volunteer program so we can access the community where we haven't done a really good job because we've made it really easy for the community to figure out how they can come to the school and volunteer. So I suggested to a few people that was something we needed to do, and that the first thing to create that would be a volunteer who wanted to coordinate volunteers. And I got three separate people who emailed me back and said, I think I can do that, which was very, very encouraging. And to the people who emailed, those people or anybody else, that's sort of a separate issue which we will continue to work on during the school year. That's my spot here. And I wrote it down, and now I've lost my place. Just a second. And the other, just to John's comment about school board member or running for the school board, there's three seats up for re-election. We have never had a contested school board election in this district since 1992, which was the very first district. They appointed five people to the school board. The following November, there was an election. Eight people ran for the five seats, and that was in 1992. And all the years since then, we have never had more than two or three people come forward to run for a board election. So we have never actually had a true election which would involve candidate debates or community forums or anything like that, because there's never been. Every election has been canceled because there were only the exact same number of people as there were vacancies. And I think that, so I really hope that there are more people than three who choose to run this year, because that's, and we've had a lot of controversies since 1992. We've had a lot of changes, and we've never had that many people, as there were tonight, step up and say, I want to run for school board. So I hope you all actually take the paperwork out, get your signatures, and decide to run. I don't even know who raised their hand. I didn't see. So there. Yeah. And, I hope that we vote today to keep both K-6 schools open. If we do that, it's obvious we need to reexamine our resources and be sure that each school gets what the students need to excel. This means utilizing both the certified teachers and volunteers to work in specific programs, specific areas in both schools. As you've seen, we have limited resources. We can't provide everything for everyone. We have to look to see which resources need to be allocated to which schools, which is something we can continue to work on here. The other thing that a few people brought up, not tonight, I heard it the other night, was about a 3 to 5 year plan. So when I looked at what we need to do if we vote to keep two schools open, we need sort of two separate things we need next year. One would be regarding committee of people, which I'll talk about, looking at the 17-18 school year and what those schools would look like. The other is more of some of the community forums that look at sort of take the financial aspect out of the picture and what would people like to see in 3 to 5 years. We've talked about this, so I've talked about this at board meetings, and we haven't honestly didn't follow up and do it before, because we can look, even with moving junior high students to the high school, our high school numbers are small. So we need to have people looking at, do you want to include blended learning? Do you want to include distance learning at the high school, maybe at the middle school as well, to provide things where we may not have a physical teacher? So we need people to look at both of those aspects next year. And things. And then we need to create, and what we need to create is an official board committee. Some people talked about an outside committee. It needs, to my mind, to have an official committee of the school board, which means it's a committee subject to open meeting law, which means they have to publish agendas, they have to publish their minutes, and whoever is on the committee talks on the committee, but it's open to the public to come and sit in the audience and listen to every committee meeting along the way, and then contact the committee members the same way you contact us as school board members, so that everything would be completely open. And along with that, I think we need to talk, this would be next month, to talk about changing our school board sessions and have two sessions a month, so we can have one for regular business and one for reporting back as changes go on, what the committee has studied this month, what specific changes, what, you know, which teachers will be teaching, you know, so we can have that kind of information back from the administration and from the committee all through the next year. Yeah. And it's obvious, we know that whatever we do for next year, we look at, we're going to have schools that are going to be missing some elements that some people want, perhaps, that everybody won't be happy. But in the course of a year, we need to create something different than we have now. We can't obviously afford to have complete duplications in two schools, but we've heard people before. We know there's options, a STEM school in one location, a languages on the other location, bilingual immersion programs we've talked about in past years, additional foreign languages in the elementary school, a specialty on art and music. There's a lot of ways you can configure the programs offered in both schools so that we do not are not totally duplicating and have to have two teachers, when you can have split the programs up in some way where parents can choose which program better fits their kids, and maybe we bus people in multiple directions at some, if that's what happens with the committee on that one. Because we need, you know, it's obvious we need to do that and sort of come back to a sort of more unified district on that. And one other comment on the committee, it also needs to be something, to my mind, to set up. I've heard this from a committee where the members are chosen by the different groups that are involved. I would think a committee should have members chosen by the site council, members chosen by the PTA or the booster club at the high school, members chosen by the teachers who vote on which teacher they want in the committee, and members from the community who are not part of the PTA or the site council who would apply in some form, so that we have a cross-section of people on that committee, both those who are currently involved in the school through the site council and the PTA, and those, as I've heard from many of you, who haven't been directly involved yet but want to be involved in making those decisions. So I just think we need to vote yes on this, keep the two schools open with the understanding that some things that parents in either school want, we may not be able to do while we work through this process for next year.
Karen, so I don't have to repeat everything you just said. I agree with you 100% on the committees. I'd like to propose an amendment to our motion that includes the formation of a committee to, on behalf of the board. That, to me, shows really good faith that we're going to embrace the community that's stepped forward. I agree with you absolutely, Karen, that it needs to be broad-based representation from our communities and our staff, parents, and site council booster clubs.
I think we can wait to do that for the next meeting, because it's sort of obvious, and I don't think we want to add any additional language to this because of the fact that there are some legalities involved. I think that if the board votes
to
do this...
The legalities involved, again, those are all reviewed. I can't imagine the Arizona School Facility Board caring whether we appointed a committee to the board for further feedback to the governing board research. But it would show good faith that that is our intention, and it could be further fleshed out at following board meetings.
All I can say then is I hope that the comments from the rest of the board would show that that is something we want to do. But since we don't know what the exact structure, whether the board, to create a committee of the board has to vote upon that. A board committee as opposed to a community committee or the superintendent's advisory committee. So that would have to be a specific board action to create a subcommittee of the board. which is operating under the board's rules, has to be a separate vote to create those.
Well, I think it can be incorporated in tonight, but I'm not going to continue to argue on it. I would ask that we have an agreement that it be on our agenda in 2 weeks, our next meeting. We'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. The only thing I'd like to add to what Karen had to say is that I think our site councils are underutilized, and I think they're very important to our schools. I'd like to see more people volunteer. It's for community members, teachers, students, to help us guide where the schools need to go. And we really don't have a strategic plan, and it's hard to vote to close a school without a strategic plan. I'd be more in favor of keeping a school open and put together a plan on how to do that than close a school and then figure out what the plan is. So that's the way I feel.
What's that?
I just want to say that I will support this because I think it's important for us to move forward as a unified board. I do want to make it clear that I do not think this is the best option. I don't think it's the best choice. But I understand that, you know, there are a lot of other factors that go into decisions like this. And that's all I have to say.
I just want to close by thanking everyone for turning out to all of these meetings. I do believe you changed our vote. And I believe it could have been a very different outcome if you hadn't stepped up and turned out and sent those emails and made those phone calls. So I'm incredibly grateful for your feedback, your patience, and your dedication to our students and the desire to have communities that are vibrant and multicultural and multi-age. And it's reinvigorated me to live in this community a second 30 years. So thank you.
Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. I'll make a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second? All in favor? Aye.